Hello, hello. Here we are. I mean, here I am again. I'm Nalissa Sefcik, and I am going to record for you another episode of The Sefcik Show. Today, I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about something that people in the church avoid talking about. But again, the Lord has put it in my heart that it needs to be talked about more, and it needs to be kind of normalized in our midst. So like we always do, let's just start jumping right in into prayer. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for all the resources that we have, Lord. For everything that we have and that we are comes from you, Lord. Lord, please bless this episode. Bless every single thing, that every single person that comes into contact with this and makes it possible. Lord, may this message reach the ears of people that need to hear it. And may this be a benefit to your kingdom, Lord. May not be I who speak, but the Holy Spirit who speaks through me. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. All right, let's have a great episode. Trying to make this very, very short. The theme that I want to talk to you about is testing the spirits in the Christian church. Why is this not a very popular subject that we talk about? Because mostly, I believe, we are ignorant. Christians are very naive, very gullible. But here's the thing that I want to open up with. Let's just hop right into scripture. Here is my little notes. So I'm reading from 1 John 4. 1 John 4 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world." So, terrible damage has been done within the church because we just fault to pay attention to these scriptures, these verses. God's word is very clear to tell us all the time that Satan's work will be through deceit, and it will come from within the church. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Why am I talking about this? We recently, right? So we have a little ministry, women's ministry, right? And we had a woman come into us with the things that we do. And she was seeking deliverance, right? And she was seeking deliverance. She was deeply tormented. You can just talk to her for 10 minutes and even less than that, for 2 minutes, and you would realize that there are things that are really bothering her in the spiritual realm. And there are evil forces that are tormenting her. And she came, one of her greatest concerns were when we prayed for her, the laying of hands on her. And this woman, although she was, I can probably put into words, she was very, very confused. And she was almost to the point of craziness. You could almost declare her to be out of her mind for our standards, for our day-to-day standards. She was very lucid in this point of not having anyone lay hands on her. And out of everybody that was in the room, I was like, she is more lucid right now in this moment when she's saying, "Do not lay hands on me," than anybody else here in this church. And I'm going to tell you why. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." 2 Corinthians 11:13-15 also says, "For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." what she was saying is, please don't have anyone lay hands on me. This woman had just met our group of women, and we do talk about deliverance and healing in these meetings. We talk about it, but it's a long process. If you know anything about deliverance, deliverance is not an action, an imposition of hands. It's not a prayer. It's actually a walk that you take with your fellow brother or sister in Christ, right? And she was very adamant. Why? Because she had had experiences. The Lord had taught her. She was a believer, deeply tormented. She is a believer. She's deeply tormented. And she had had the awful experience of receiving spirits, impure spirits, and receiving demons from other people that were allegedly Christians, but they were not. And the reason why she received them is because she, nor anybody else around the room, ever bothered to actually test the spirit, test the validity, and test the authority of that person laying hands on her. So that became for her something very, a very touchy subject. Why? Because right now we have here the word that I just said, 2 Corinthians says that Satan will masquerade itself as a spirit of light. So it's not because I'm here in the name of Christ, I'm here in the name of Jesus, I'm here in the name of the Lord, that I am actually in the Lord. I'm actually talking about Jesus Christ. It's not. There are so many today. All you have to do is open YouTube and put Christian sermons. All you have to do, and probably the first three ones will be about false teachings, false prophecies, false healings, false manifestation of godliness, all of that. So it is imperative that we do test the spirits. Very few people actually take upon themselves. We are to be as blessed as we are to have Christ. We are absurdly just accommodated with the fact that we never bother. I don't want to say never, because you have one here and there, right? But how many times have you heard a sermon? Have you sat through a Sunday service, and you have actually confronted the words of your pastor with the Bible? How many times have you checked the words of your pastor with the Bible? How many? We don't do that. We don't do that. And that's why we are so gullible, and it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing. I was just the other day watching with my husband Nefarious, which is a movie that I do recommend. It's fiction, but it's a person. You're gonna understand the story. But the person there is saying literally this: you guys are so gullible. You let anyone. It's so easy to deceive you guys. Some of the problems that you guys see yourselves in, he's meaning the demons, right? The Satan. Satan doesn't even have to put their hands on, because you guys are so good at just being so ignorant and just being so careless and just putting yourselves in trouble just for laziness, for lack of knowledge. So it is extremely important that we do that, that we meditate upon the sermons that we are receiving, that we confront that it's a personal responsibility. It's no one else's responsibility. No one else's responsibility. If you listen to a sermon and you take that to heart, it's your responsibility to confront that with the word. Confront that with the word and make sure that that is true. Because there is only, you can read anything you want. You can listen to anyone you want. But there's only one book that says the truth in this entire world. And this is not going to change. And that's the Bible. The Bible is the only book that will tell you the truth. And that's your job to know it from to cover, to have it in your heart, and to confront that with any teachings that you are absorbing and practicing and incorporating into your life. So how do you test the spirit? Testing the spirit is very simple. If a person who's preaching to you, and this happens in the highest ranks in churches all the time, especially in prayer groups, sometimes you will hear about stories of Satanists being in the elderly group, in the elderly body of a church, just because years go by and no one bothers to test the spirits. And this is insane. How do you test the spirit? First, confront, say that person. If that person can recite, right? If that person can confess, if that person can proclaim with their own mouth 1 John 4, which is the first verse we started with, that is a scripture to go to. But any person who cannot confess that God, that Jesus was uniquely divine, that he was born of a virgin, that he walked in the flesh on this earth, and that he lived a sinless life, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he rose after the third day, and that now he's sitting at the right hand of God. If you find anyone, any leader, any person who is like ministering to you, if that person cannot declare that clearly with their mouth, that spirit is not from God. And boom, you found it. And here is the thing. Out of politeness, right? Out of being polite and out of being not being awkward, not being socially awkward, right? We don't do that. We're like, oh yeah, you can lay hands on me. I will just whatever you're saying. Yeah, amen to that. Amen, amen. We say amen to a person we barely know just because they are in a position of being a leader, of being ahead of a ministry, of being ahead of something. And we don't do that. But here is the huge red flag. Any person who is a true leader, a pastor, someone who's actually pastoring sheep for Jesus Christ, one characteristic that they will have in their hearts is humility. And it will never bother them, never. It will never bother them to actually be confronted with that question. It's an extremely valid question. If we don't do that as Christians, we are sinning. And so that pastor will have the humility to say, I can confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is uniquely divine, that he was here on earth, that he was in the flesh, he was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, paid for all our sins on the cross, rose after the third day, and now he's sitting at the right hand of Christ, of God the Father. That person will actually rejoice to confirm that to you. And I'm talking about that from experience, right? I confronted a person about that. And that person, we were in a meeting, the long story short, we were in a meeting, a women's meeting, and this woman started, she was laying hands, but we didn't really know her, right? She hadn't been proven to be a leader. She had not been proven to be with us, to actually be Christian. So it bothered me. The Holy Spirit bothered me immediately. And he said, test if the spirit is from God. So I went to the woman and I said, excuse me, will you please confess with your mouth 1 John 4? The woman could not do it. She could not do it. She could not do it. And it was the craziest thing. She got angry. She got offended that I asked. She ended up not doing it. Long story short, when it started, we prayed. We asked her, can we pray for you? No one laid hands on her. But when we prayed for her, she started speaking in tongues, but it was demonic tongues. And she was just speaking curses over us, over our group, right? Because there was someone, we immediately identified that she could, one of us immediately identified that she could, she was speaking in demonic languages over us. So then after she left the group, and then we had to stay and we had to pray longer, canceling every single thing, breaking the binding, right? On here on earth and in heaven. And we had to pray canceling all of that. So listen, be attentive to the Holy Spirit and do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed to, do not be polite. At this point, we have no, this is the end of times. We have no time to be polite. Like, are you with Christ? Or are you not with Christ? It's that black and white. It's that simple. And I believe that is that Jesus, here, a great verse, Matthew 24, that says, Jesus himself said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, many claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. That is ridiculous. But it is so true. He said that. He said that it is a commandment, because he says that in the imperative. He says, watch out. It's your responsibility to watch out. Watch out. And if you don't do that, it's your responsibility. You are sinning, right? Let's not sin for the lack of knowledge. Let's not do that. We Christians are very often, we are pathetic because we don't study. We don't know. We don't go deep into merits, into topics. And we don't stay in relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that will give us the warnings that we need to do. But we also need to have in the back of our mind, the Holy Spirit, in order to instruct us, in order to even alert us of things, we already have to have that knowledge in the back of our hearts. That's why it says, put your word into your heart, because the word in our heart, the Holy Spirit uses all the time to guide us into what he needs to do for us. So here, about that laying of hands, right? So it is your responsibility to check. So Acts in Hebrews, you will see that Ananias, he laid hands on Saul and prophesied over him that he would be, right, the person chosen by God to proclaim his word. Then you also have Paul later, right, laying his hands on the father Publius, I don't remember his name, sorry, it's Publius something. I'm sorry, I think it's in Hebrews, and on his father or his father-in-law, and healed him. What is the point of this conversation? This point of this conversation is the Bible is very clear in James 5 saying that the ones that should be laying hands are people that have been proven by fire. They have been proven by fire. They already made themselves known. They are known leaders in the church. And those are the people that should be laying hands. James 5, 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders. Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And you are going to see all of those verses. You see a new Christian that has not gone through deliverance, who has not walked with the Lord, who has not done anything, just laying their little hand, like who has lived in the world doing all sorts of terrible things, of evil things. Just they become new. True, they become new in Christ, right? They are born again in Christ, but they not have walked the sanctification. They have not walked through their purification, and they like they're enthusiastic. They have not been tried by fire, and they just go and they lay their little hands on other people. And why? Because we see all those short stories of Ananias and Paul laying hands on people. Those people were leaders. They were ahead. They were either spoken, directed by God, because they had already proven themselves, right, to be with Christ, to be of Christ, to be of God. Or they were leaders in the community, like Paul. And we see all of those verses, but we overlook 1 Timothy 5, 22, that says, do not be hasty in laying on of hands. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. This verse alone tells us that it is dangerous for you to lay your hands over someone and to have someone that you don't know, that has not been tested, laying hands on you. So let's just be mindful of that, and let's just get in the habit of testing the spirits. That's what I hope. It does take courage. It does take audacity to do that, but it is something that must be done. So I hope that this was helpful in any way, and I hope to see you guys soon. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.